Good morning, Delaware. Okay, that's good is kind of in quotations. But this week has felt like I should be building an ark.
Yeah, I'm over the rain. I tried to put on a happy face when my daughter had her soccer in that spitty, misty rain on Tuesday. And she's like, do I have to go? And I was like, mm-hmm. And she's like, do you want to go? And I was like, yes.
That's Nicole Fowles, the only mother here in the studio. So happy Mother's Day weekend, Nicole.
Thank you. And thank you to all of everyone's mothers in here as well.
We've got Gage Tellis working the board for us. Good morning, Gage.
Good morning, everybody.
And on the phone is Becky Woodruff, our teen services librarian at the Orange Branch Library. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, George.
I'm glad to have you here. Thanks for being here. And I have to say, I heard a new advertiser on the Breakfast Club this morning, Cafe de Cup.
Ooh.
Cafe de Cart, yes.
Nice.
Which is over by the food truck depot, right there in the parking lot. And I stopped and got a cup of very good coffee from
Ooh.
There. So it's very strategically located between the library and the radio station.
Uh-huh.
So it works out really nicely. So anyway, let's see. What are you doing today with books?
With music? My reading, with my listening, with all of the good things. I was lucky enough to pick up an advanced reader copy a long time ago. It came out, well, I probably got this in late 2019, and it sat and sat and sat, and I'm just now reading it. It's already out. This is called Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. It was released in January of 2020, and it's a debut novel. It's a really, really engaging story. It's really authentically written. It's a contemporary fiction, and I'll give you the basic gist. So, I haven't listened to this one rarely. You know, I love audiobooks, but so I might be mispronouncing one of the main characters' names. I think it's Emira, E-M-I-R-A. So Emira is a 25-year-old girl and woman, and she is a babysitter to a very well-to-do family. She is Black. The family is white, and that is important because of a thing that happens very early in the novel. The family has kind of a late night incident at their home. The police have to come to kind of just help them, you know, get reports taken and things like that. And the mother of the family doesn't want the toddler that she has to see all the police and kind of be scared and things like that. So she calls the babysitter, Emira, and she says, "Will you just get her out of the house for me, just for a minute? I just don't want her to see all of this commotion." And she's like, okay, sure. She's like, also noted, it's a Friday night at like 11 o'clock. I'm not really wearing babysitting clothes. She's a 25-year-old. She's out and about, right?
Sure.
So she's like, yeah, sure, I'll be there. So she goes and she gets the sweet little girl, and they go and they walk around the local supermarket, just because that's a place that's open at 11 o'clock. And it's in a very, you know, well-to-do neighborhood, predominantly white. And as she and the child are walking around the supermarket, they're just kind of having fun. She's like playing Whitney Houston on her phone. They're dancing in the supermarket aisles, because what else are you going to do with a, you know, slap happy toddler at 11 o'clock at night? People in the store are paying attention to them more closely than they should be. And so what ends up happening is a security guard, flagged by a woman in the store, approaches Emira and asks her if she, you know, has any sort of claim to this child, basically accusing her of kidnapping.
Yep.
Why a kidnapper would be in the middle of a well-to-do grocery store, you know, but anyway. So
being very obvious, too. I mean, dancing in the aisles, yeah, not exactly like having her tucked in the trunk of her car.
Right, yeah. She's not like got shades over her, you know, her hat and her shades and everything like that. So the security guard accuses her of this, and it becomes a scene. There is a man who is in the store, and he starts videotaping. And Emira is just completely embarrassed. She's like, no, I am their babysitter. Let me take care of this. The man's like, you're going to want this videotaped just in case. She's like, you know, just get me out of this situation. From there, the book propels forward. The man who videotaped it, the family who she babysits for, her personal life, her group of girlfriends, the book just kind of propels forward, and you see what happens from the fallout. The great thing about this novel is what I just described sounds so heavy and sounds like you could be like, oh, wow, there's a lot there. The novel is actually rather lighthearted. It's actually
that's quite a feat to be able to pull that off.
Yeah. So Kylie Reed, the author of this novel, as a debut novel, she does a phenomenal job where the main character is just kind of like, I just kind of want to forget this. She hangs out with her girlfriends. Her girlfriends are awesome. They are just like, they've got her back at every turn. They're silly. They have a lot of humor. We meet the man again who videotaped everything. You kind of start to enjoy like his funny demeanors as well. Even the family, you know, you kind of wonder, where does the family fall in all of this? They have her back, and you learn more of their backstory as well. And so it's just very beautifully woven together. It's a roller coaster of a ride, and can't recommend it more. It's called Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed.
Sounds like it'll make a great movie.
I think it would. Yeah. I think it would. It would have good movie promise.
Great. So Becky, I know you're a voracious reader. What have you been reading or listening to or binging on recently?
I am. So I just listened to River of Teeth by Sarah Gailey. Have either of you heard of this book?
No.
I have not.
Oh my gosh. So first of all, it's very short. So if you're looking for a quick read, it's only like 175 pages. So nice and brief.
Mm-hmm.
But this part of the story is true. So in the early 1900s, there was a meat shortage in the U.S. And there was this senator who cooked up a plan to raise hippos, yes, hippopotamuses, as livestock in the swampy south of the United States. This actually, they didn't actually end up going through with raising the hippos, but they actually wanted to do this.
No!
yes, wow. This is a real thing. We almost had United States hippos. Which, like, also, if you know anything about hippos, like, they are incredibly dangerous and violent and will just literally rip you in half. So this speculative fiction Western heist novel asks, but what if we did, though? It is a wild ride. it tells the story of the main character. First of all, the main character's name is Winslow Houndstooth, which is perhaps one of the greatest fictional names of all time.
Yes.
And he and his crew are on this revenge mission. They will stop at nothing. They are hippo wrangling mercenaries, and they're bent on revenge for something that happened in Winslow's past that remains very shady until it slowly pieces together as you progress through the story. But if you are looking for just something completely different than probably anything you have ever read before in your life, definitely check out River of Teeth by Sarah Gailey.
It's River of Teeth, like T-E-E-T-H?
Yep, river of teeth, as in hippopotamus teeth that are going to rip you apart.
They're going to rip you apart, exactly.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Becky, I've even just looked this up on Goodreads. It looks like it's a series. There's River of Teeth 1, River of Teeth 2, River of Teeth 3.
How does it go on? I have not yet read the second one, but I am very excited to do so.
Oh my gosh.
I think there might even be a prequel, or maybe this is a graphic novel that I'm looking at. I pulled up its Goodreads. Sarah Gailey is an amazing author. They just think of the wildest things to write about, and this is one of them.
That's amazing.
It's very interesting and awesome.
Great. Thanks, Becky. Well, I picked up an advanced reader copy in the in our staff room the other day, and I had seen a review of this in Library Journal before, so it kind of intrigued me, just the 125-word review in Library Journal. So this book is called Everyone in This Room Will Someday Be Dead, and it's written by an author named Emily Austin. Emily Austin is a former school librarian in Ontario. She previously published a short novella called Oh Honey about an obsessed telemarketer, which right there sounds like an interesting novella. But this is her first full-length novel. She won a writing grant from the Canadian Council for the Arts last year in order to complete this. And so this is a weird book. Gilda, who is the lead character, is a very strange person. She's almost ludicrously morbid. All she can really think about is how insignificant her life is and how basically she just wants to be invisible and she doesn't want to bother anybody. She's described on the book, on the cover, as a 20-something animal-loving atheist lesbian who cannot stop ruminating about death, which is a pretty good capsule summary of her life there. But that's about all she is really sure of in the whole world. She's lost her job in a bookstore because basically she can't even generate enough energy to get out of bed to go to work. She wanders to an address where she thinks she can get some therapy, but she finds herself at a Catholic church where the priest, who knows nothing about Gilda, but just stands there talking to her for a few minutes, offers her a job as the church secretary. The previous secretary's died suddenly.
Nope.
And so because she doesn't like to offend anybody and she doesn't like to correct anybody, she just sort of goes along pretending to be Catholic and straight in order to work at the church. Hilarity ensues, sort of. She's really a remarkably frustrating character. As I'm reading this book, much of the time I just wanted to yell at her, get out of your head and join the rest of us on Earth, because she seems like she has so much to offer, but it's all trapped inside of her. Gilda's basically just a really badly damaged person. She has an occasionally violent father. Her mother tries to protect her and her brother, but all the issues in the family are buried and never discussed. So we're working on as a group read for the managers at the library, a book called Crucial Conversations. And I just wanted to reach in and say, here, read this book.
You need to have one
of
these.
You need this, yes. Gilda, like I said, she strives to be nearly invisible. She just feels like she has nothing to offer. But the people around Gilda, for the most part, are just as flawed as she is, but they're trying to reach out and they're even trying to be friendly to her. They're basically all well-meaning. A couple of people are jerks, but there are no real villains in this book. Austin writes beautifully. Her prose is sharp. Her dialogue is good. She's smart. She's funny. The only problem I have with the book is I think the novel wraps everything up a little too neatly at the very end. So I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything. But for somebody who's as badly damaged as Gilda is, the way it gets wrapped up just seems to be way too deus ex machina.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about that. But I just think it's a new author. Emily Austin's a new author who really bears watching, and I think everyone in this room will someday be dead is quite a way to launch her career. The book does not come out until July. Like I said, this is an advanced reader copy, but I think it'd be worth reading for you if you're interested in kind of interior novels like this. Kind of funny. You never know Gilda's last name. You never know where this is set. It's just sort of, it feels like a vague Canadian city because I've done work in Canada and everything. It just feels Canadian because everybody's so nice to everybody. So anyway, I think you might enjoy that. So we will be back in a few minutes. We're going to talk to Becky about the Valentine program and how we're going to be handling that this summer and some other things coming forward in the library. So stay tuned. Yeah, welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're glad to have you here. We're here with Nicole Fowles and with on the phone Becky Woodruff from the Orange Branch Library, our teen services librarian. Becky manages our Valentines program. And Becky, why don't you talk a little bit about what that program is and how we're going to do it during this coming summer?
Yeah, so obviously it looks a little different than it usually does. So normally Valentines will come in and help get people signed up for summer reading and get people prizes. And it involves a lot of, you know, very close personal interaction with a lot of people. So obviously it's been a little different during the pandemic.
Just like everything else in
virtual,
this world.
Yeah. Right. So last spring we went virtual and have maintained that pretty consistently throughout the openings and closures and everything else. And so teens can still apply on our website, as always, delawarelibrary.org/support/teen. Mm-hmm. We're going to stay virtual this summer. Once folks apply, they will get a sort of welcome email like, oh, thanks for applying. Also, we're not in person right now. That includes a link to a Google Doc that has a whole list of things that they can do virtually or distantly. And I wanted to be sure to include options for folks who do have easy access to computers and folks who do not have easy access to computers.
That's so great.
There's tons of options that are virtual, but also some that are like read to a family member or write a book review. But then there are others that are take a class on LinkedIn Learning or CreativeBug, which are both research database offerings that the library has, and they have all kinds of professional development related courses that you can do. One of my faves is explorecitizenscience.gov and find a project to help with, and then track the time that you spend doing that project. And if you aren't familiar, citizen science is basically what it sounds like. It's regular, everyday folks helping out with various science endeavors for the government.
You know, one of my favorites
that we've got
that you included last summer, Becky, was you gave, I think it was maybe the equivalent of, you know, 15 minutes or something like that. If they liked the library's social media, that was our YouTube page saw our YouTube page saw subscription jumps that I have never seen before.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot more teen engagement on our various social media, so that's been awesome. I figured you would be a fan of that one, Nicole.
I loved it. It was great. You're a genius.
Thanks. You know, I try. Really humble, too.
Yes.
So our applications will close after Wednesday, June 30th, so just make sure you get them in before then. We usually go through the end of July with our summer volunteering, and so this opportunity will be available through then.
Mm-hmm. Great. And our summer reading program this year kicks off on June 1st. We'll have some other announcements about other things that are happening on June 1st in the next couple of weeks, but Good things are coming. Anyway, so with the Volunteens program, are there plans for bringing it back to an in-person program in the future? Or is this going to pretty much stay as a virtual program? What kind of things do you have in mind for it, Becky?
Well, it is funny that you ask. So we are, for this summer, we're staying virtual. And then we recently met to talk about what our plans for fall would be. And we ultimately decided that with the Liberty Branch opening in Powell, which has always been a very heavy volunteer area, both Powell and Lewis Center are extremely service-oriented demographics, and so we get a lot of volunteers in those two areas. So with the Liberty Branch opening, we're going to kind of take a pause in the fall and sort of reevaluate the system and how it functions and sort of restructure it to better suit the needs of our growing system. So we will not have volunteering this school year, but we are hoping that barring any crazy unforeseen COVID things, et cetera, that next summer we will return full force in person with the new library, and it's going to be rad.
Yeah. So
I love it.
Can you talk a little bit about the Teen Advisory Board and what that is, what that means, who can join, quote unquote, it, and a little bit about what happens with Teen Advisory Board?
Yeah. So Teen Advisory Board is something that we had done for several years in the past, and then we sort of reframed it a couple years ago. And it used to just be a volunteer thing for our teen volunteers, but now it is open to any teens in the community can attend. And we have them once a month, and it's basically an opportunity for teens to come and talk about library programming, the volunteer program. They get a service hour for attending, so it's another opportunity for hours. And actually, the Teen Advisory Board will continue through the fall. That's the one thing that we're keeping as well.
Right.
So Teen Advisory Board is just kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, right.
It's a board of teens who tell us what they want, and we do our best to make it happen.
Yeah, and it is virtual, and it is ongoing. But yeah, that you like you said, that's the one thing that's going to kind of continue a little bit. So if teens are still looking for, like, I need that one more hour, and it's September, you know, they might be able to make it happen in a teen advisory board meeting. Could you also talk about the Discord channel? Did I say it right? Is that the right lingo? The Discord channel?
The Discord server would be the overall thing. And then the channels are different sort of individual forums within the server.
Okay. Well, tell us about that.
I did want to say really quick.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Before I forget, the Teen Advisory Board, we have not decided for sure what it will look like in the fall, if it will remain virtual or go to in-person.
Gotcha.
So we'll keep everybody posted about that. I just wanted to let folks know that there is a chance for in-person opportunities if it is safe to do so.
Yes.
That safe part is something that we've always been very cognizant of. So thank you for doing that. And thank you. I think we've given a lot of teens the opportunity to be active in the community in a very positive way, giving them the community service time that they need for school, but also giving them a chance to actually feel a little bit about what it's like to be out working and doing something like that. So, and I know we have hired people eventually who've been in the volunteer program over a period of time. So it's a great way to really get to know the library in a very kind of up close and personal way. So we appreciate that and appreciate what you do to make that happen, Becky.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Good. We've got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to point out, don't forget, if you ordered flowers from the Friends of the Library flower sale, you'll be picking them up a week from Monday. That's Monday, May 17th at the barn at Stratford, the Delaware County Historical Society's big barn there at Stratford and 23 there. So make sure you don't forget to pick them up. That's in the late afternoon. I think it's 5 to 7 or 4 to 6. I think it's 5 to 7 that you can pick them up. Is this the last day people can actually order, May 7th?
Yes, today, May 7th, is your last day for orders.
Good. Yeah, I didn't want to say that without checking with you because I was afraid I was going to stick my foot in my mouth. But we appreciate your support for that. And so now we have two programs coming up, and then I'm going to throw it to you to talk about who's on the Teen Job Fair.
All righty.
So we've got two book groups coming up this week. Vicky's book group, the evening group on Wednesday, and then her afternoon group on Thursday, is talking about Graeme Simsion's book, The Rosie Project.
Oh, yes.
And then we also have our Bookbusters book club for the kids, and that's on Tuesday at 6:30, and they're talking about Flora and Ulysses by Kate DiCamillo, one of the all-time great children's authors.
And that book was just made into a movie, which is on Disney Plus, if you have access to that right now.
Great to know.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the virtual teen job fair, which of course Becky is also responsible for, is moving forward, continuing. So who is your featured employee of the week?
So this week I would draw your attention to Willowbrook Christian Communities. They have two locations, but this one I believe is referring to the one at the Delaware Crossing West location. What they hire beginning at age 16, so that's wonderful. And right now they are looking for servers and kitchen utility workers. They are hiring part-time, and I do believe that this is not seasonal. This could be a year-round employment opportunity for a teen in your life who is looking for work. But yeah, so you're going to be basically working in their kitchen and getting some things ready. They have their restaurant, and so they need servers for that as well.
Yep.
And I tell you, I know so many individuals who live in the Willowbrook Christian Communities, and they are a joy. I would love to serve them daily.
Well, and also Larry Harris, who is the director of Willowbrook, is one of the nicest human beings I know.
Yes.
He's just an amazing person. So anyway, that sounds like a great place.
Good. So Willowbrook Christian Communities, check it out. Go to DelawareLibrary.org, click on the events tab, or it's right there on the main page, the Teen Job Fair, and you can find out how you can apply.
Great. Well, thank you, Becky, for being our guest today and for your work with our teens in the community. We really appreciate everything you do for them. Thank you. Nicole,
thank you again, as always.
It's a pleasure to co-host the show with you. Gage, we couldn't do it without you, man. Great work behind the
board.
Thank you. Appreciate it sincerely. So we'll be back next week. And for now, we will see you in the stacks.